to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christy Marie, my mama. So how was your week going so far?
Oh, my God. You know what? We won $3 on a lottery ticket.
You won $3 on a lottery ticket. What are the odds of that happening?
Talk about odds. I want to tell you something.
What do you want to tell me?
I want you to tell the story, girl.
Okay.
This is
I know
cool.
Why you won $3. Because I have been, something very magical and lucky happened to me this week that I got to share real quick. I love Aldi's organic eggs. They're certified humane.
And they're all brown.
And so I'm making me my 2 eggs in the morning. And I give you one sometimes. And it was a double egg. I'm like a double yolk egg.
Right.
I'm like, oh my God, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They're meant to be lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have good fortune that day.
Right.
And then I decided to crack the other one open because I know that you wouldn't want to eat a double yolk egg.
No.
That would gross you out.
As magical and lucky as it is, it would gross me out.
Yeah. But then I cracked another egg, and it was a double yolk egg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy mother of God,
yeah,
that's got to be rare. And so in the back of my head, I'm like, I still can't give mom a double yolk egg. She's not going to want to eat it.
So you cracked.
I cracked a third one,
yeah,
and it was a double yolked egg. And I'm like, so I had a pan.
This frying pan.
You can go to our Instagram at Christine Marie and Julie. Marie and Julie. I have my triple yolked egg.
6 yolk.
In my fry pan.
Right.
But they say it's 1 in 1,000 chance of having it happen once.
To have a double yolk egg.
So in 1,000 eggs, one will turn out to be double yolked.
Right.
But to get one right after another, right after another, Dad and I figured it out. And probability-wise, we think it's 1 in 1 billion.
Yeah.
Now,
That in itself is cool. But the next morning,
I cracked another one. And it was another double egg, the same dozen.
Yeah.
And I did it again. And it was another one and another one. And I'm like, holy mother of God. And so I cracked it a fourth time. And I did it. I'm like, I had 4 eggs all with quadruple or all with double yolks.
Yes.
So I don't even know what the ratio of that is, but it's
astronomical.
It will never happen again in my lifetime.
Astronomical. Yeah.
And so...
And so we did some diving.
Yes.
As to,
but can I say something though?
Sure.
That night, because you said, I asked you what you went for breakfast or for dinner, and you said, I don't really feel like much. Can you just make me a couple eggs?
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure. And those 2 eggs were both double yolk. That means out of this dozen, I had 10 eggs out of the course. 10 eggs out of 12 that were double yolked.
Oh my God.
It was so amazing. And I would have done it all at one time, like just kept cracking in, but then what are you going to do with the eggs?
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't want to waste
them.
It just
feels a little,
but I felt like, oh my God.
It's amazing.
But it's 1 in 1,000 chance of having one.
Yeah.
I do not know. But so if I had 3, it's 1 in 1 billion.
Right.
It's got to be 1 in 1 trillion.
For having cracked 4 eggs
in a row.
No, 10 eggs.
10 eggs.
Cracking 10 eggs in a row, all being double yolked eggs.
And then I started, and so I thought for sure something magical is going to happen.
Naturally, you start thinking lottery.
And you won $3.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
We parlayed those $3.
We may be bigger ones.
Exactly.
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
We don't know. I said, I don't even try for the big, big ones because that'd be cruel. But I know what I want.
Yeah.
I want to get it now.
Yeah.
I'm in alignment with it.
Right.
I got the go ahead from the egg universe.
See, the universe that's about eggs is about new things and fertility.
Yes.
Life,
new ideas. We looked it up. A good day.
Yes.
New ideas, double
portion. Yeah.
But if I had 8 or 10 of those, I should have 10 times
your portion. You should donate or you should seed some money.
Yep.
And then expect 10 times the results back.
I love it. I'm there
Amen,
for that.
Girlfriend.
Amen for that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And like I was hearing on someplace.
They're just like, there's a study out of Johns Hopkins or University of Pennsylvania, some study that said that they took all these college students and they gave them the cold virus
in
their nose.
Yeah.
And then some of them isolated and some of them went and did all the partying and all the stuff. And the people that did all the partying and all the hugging and all the stuff didn't get the cold as much as the people that were isolated.
I know, but
so it's just not, it's just like.
But see, there's always another truth to every study. Because what they didn't say is that 9 months later, the people that went out and partied had a little baby. And they had to get a junk, get out of school. They failed out. Some were in AA. You know, I literally heard that
there's unintended consequences to that study.
But you know what? They didn't get that damn cold.
No.
So God bless them. On your way. You figured out how to not get the cold. You know, addictions.
You know, speaking of
herpes, ran rampant.
Addictions and stuff. We were listening to Dax
Shepard
interviewed by Tim Ferriss.
Okay.
Now, this has probably nothing to do, but it'd be an interesting interview. I like Tim Ferriss, but he's a little boring for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his audience.
Right.
They are the sophisticated intellectuals.
Millennials, I guess. I don't know. Are they, maybe they're older than
they're intellectuals.
They
consider themselves smart.
Yeah.
You know. But I'm listening very intently because I love Dax Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And he's talking about how he filed. He filed in his addiction.
He filed that away.
And I stopped and I said, did any of you hear him say filed instead of failed? And then we went, we think we did.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah, it was a failure. And I'm like, oh my God, he's saying failure. And then we're like, all of us in the car are doubting ourselves.
Yeah.
And then he goes like this. He goes, yeah, I totally jumped the rails. And I went, he cannot say his AIs.
Oh my God, that's wild. And do you think it's one of those things, though, that he kind of can? But from where we're hearing it at this tone, it's like, do you see the blue dress or the green dress?
Oh, that one?
Or like, do you hear this or that?
Yeah.
Because that's interesting. He's from Michigan. There's no reason.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason there's a he does not have an accent.
Right.
For at least not that we should not detect other than Midwestern accent.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Yeah.
Very
Am I wrong, though? Was I hearing
no,
it wrong?
No, he couldn't say. No, I wasn't picking up on
it.
So you said something. You said dyslexic. That's weird because he is dyslexic.
Oh, he is. Mm-hmm. Well, see, if he's in some way reading from his mind.
He says IA.
He would say IA instead of AI.
Oh, my. Well, aren't you brilliant? You just figured that one out.
I did I?
Yeah, you did. You did. Well, it was funny because when I heard that show, I just thought Tim Ferriss came across a little bit energetically. He didn't say anything.
No. We both agree on this.
Yeah.
Right?
A little bit jealous might be the word because he goes, mm-hmm. Tim's like, I've never seen a podcast just break out like yours has.
Yeah.
And I'm just like.
And also he said, the guest that you have.
Yes.
I feel like I can't have them on. Because you do such a thorough interview that I would be asking, if you were a box of cereal, what kind would you be?
Yeah. He would be asking the rapid fire, inside the actor's studio kind of thing.
Right.
I thought, interesting. And I just felt this like Tim, there wasn't a lot, there was some chemistry.
Yeah.
But certainly Dax is professional.
Dax is, and he's unlikable.
And he's likable as hell. And he's so
Tim
affable
just feels
or
like,
affable.
Yeah, affable.
He's affable. Affable.
Yeah, he is.
In a weird way, right?
Yeah.
And I just find him at this moment charming.
Yeah.
I might get sick of his, I don't want to say shtick,
mm-hmm.
but his shtick is. Being very vulnerable and completely honest.
Right.
And I love that. That's great.
Right.
But one thing
I still don't get his relationship with Monica, though.
Yeah.
We're supposed to understand it.
Right. Well, you told me one time.
Because I don't know. I mean, supposedly she's this whiz kid.
Yeah.
She's this writer that can punch things up. And,
yeah.
Excuse me. All this
We're both
stuff.
Now I'm coughing. Go.
Yeah. But when I hear her.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, she's obviously the second banana.
Right.
She understands the second banana place.
Right.
Just like I do.
Right.
Well, sure. You're top banana. I'm the bottom banana, as Dad would call me. No.
That's what he said.
That's right. You know. But the she started out just being a babysitter.
Yeah.
And moved from babysitter to nanny. Mm. From nanny to chief of staff on Kristen's, his wife's
right,
side.
Right.
And then he took her and made her part of the second banana slot on the podcast.
Is it absconded? Is that the right word?
Absconded.
Absconded. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know me. I say those words funny sometimes.
But I mean, so he, you know, he tells that story. You're right. He is the vulnerable guy.
Yes.
You know.
And supposedly his market, his demographics and his audience is mostly female. Where Tim Ferriss is mostly male.
I believe that.
Yeah. And so I get that. I'm like, that makes sense a little bit, you know. But one of the episodes, I just came across him in when I was driving Dax. He'd been around for a year or two before I think I heard him for the first time like 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
And I remember just looking at it and just finding ones I wanted to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I listened to two right off the bat. One was with Kate Hudson and her brother.
Right.
And the other one was with these two guys. One was one of the castmates from Sunny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And
I heard both of those.
Yeah. And I thought they were charming and fun and so forth. And I've listened to one with Sam, you know, Sam Harris. So he's good. He's fun. He's also a Hollywood insider per se, you know?
Yes.
He might not be A-plus lister like Tom Hanks level, but he's a worker in there and he also makes the bucks. And, you know, they have a level of.
What's interesting, too, is that.
Married to Kristen Bell.
Like Dad. Excuse me. Sorry about that, guys. Like Dad had met a little new friend the other day.
Yes.
And you know, he said, oh, and we found out we both liked Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. When you find someone that you don't know, you kind of have, oh, like this person's nice.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, we listened to Adam Carolla. You go,
I listen to Adam Carolla.
And then all of a sudden you have that connection.
You have a connection.
Your
tribes intersect.
You understand. It's exactly right.
You know, I'm part of this tribe and we're part of this tribe and our tribes intersect.
Yeah, and you play here. You just feel like you know that person.
I oh my God, I just got to tell you a story. This is reminding me of one time I was at Verizon. Dad's phone was not working well. And I knew there was just some setting that had to be fixed or whatever. And I said, let's just go into my dad's history and figure this out because something's going on. And he's like, he's a kid like 22 to 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm feeling uncomfortable going into your dad's history on his phone. I go, sir, there's nothing on his phone. I will bet you $1 million. I go, I didn't say that. Thank God. I said, I just know my dad. He can't even turn his phone on.
Right. Right.
I go, there's nothing that he's not going to scan the dark web for whatever we think is going to be on there.
There's nothing he can do. Yeah.
And in his history was podcasts, of course. Mm-hmm. And one came coming up and it was like the most pornographic, like motherfucker or something like that. Really weird title of something.
Really?
And I'm like, what the world's going on? I said, just scroll up. I don't want to know. And then later on, I had to figure out, what am I seeing in my dad? And unfortunately, my first thought was, because he saw the guy too, like, oh no. I'm like, let's just ignore it. Let's figure out what's going on. But after I got out of Verizon, I thought to myself, okay, my first thought wasn't, oh, I should give my father privacy. If he wants to look at porn, he can look at porn. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my first thought.
No.
My first thought was, oh, I have got to figure this effing thing out.
Yeah.
Because
there is a mystery to be solved.
Yes. Here. It's a disconnect. Yeah. I know this man. Yeah. Yeah. And if he is literally searching the web for porn, then he is literally lying to me about all the shit he can do at home.
100%.
He can't call me when he says, Julie, the cable's not working. Press the reset button, Dad, in the back. back. It's the red one. That'll solve 99% of your problems.
So Julie puts on her trench coat and her bike with the little basket in front.
Yes.
And like Murder, She Wrote.
I'm Murder, She Wrote in it. Yeah. I'm Murder, She Wrote in that bitch. I'm going to find the mystery.
What was the mystery? Did you solve it?
Yeah, it was just a. It was just literally, for whatever reason, Adam Carolla hadn't labeled this what was going to be in this podcast, very nasty. Whatever reason. I can't figure out why.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so embarrassing.
Well, in Dax's interview with Tim Ferriss, he talks about his Monica, his sidekick, how good she is at titling, you know, his podcast. Because that's really
important.
Important as to how you get his subscribers, his people that that fund him or you know, back him and all that stuff. It's just it, and we also heard just a really brief interview with Adam and Perez Hilton, and Perez is like gayer than ever, if you ask me.
Yeah,
can I say that? I get that's okay.
I get well.
That's politically correct, isn't it? Because it just means that,
or he is embodying the stereotypical gay man of the 2000s.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that would be appropriate to say.
That's good. Okay. So, but he said, you know, hey, listen, I am uncancelable.
Right.
And I think that's cool. But whatever.
That's what we are. We're uncancelable. Please, someone cancel us. Put us out of our misery for the hopes. Well, because you love it when you hear someone who's making it, and say something like, "Oh my God, another podcast is started." Yeah. Like it's like crushingness that the pie just got another slice taken out or whatever.
Oh yeah,
it's funny because. You know, you said because Dax talks about making money with it, like substantial money.
Perez Hilton said that
he
was uncancelable, but you said that he gets his money vis-a-vis clickbait.
TikTok. He makes money from TikTok.
TikTok.
One of the ways, yes.
And I still can't figure that out.
And he has a podcast, which I've never heard.
Yeah. So we don't even begin to even understand the ways that they monetize these things.
No, we don't. And we've tried to become hip with that.
Yeah.
And then you're just going, oh, is this how it is?
It's just not worth it.
Well, because Perez Hilton mentioned
in the cities of podcasts.
Yes.
We are a little tiny mom and pop shop.
Yes.
That's who we are.
For sure.
And we sleep in the back of the store.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And we love going to work every day.
Mic drop.
Yeah, I do. I love going to work every day. Yeah. I always tell people, if you're half struggling with a relationship, start a podcast.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it frames your whole week on what to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's something about that. I mean, there are people who say that in the relationship, well, Doug and I, for one thing, we don't talk for an hour straight.
Oh, no. I remember this was this year, I think, during COVID, you said you wanted to get together every night and read.
Yes.
And you were going to read something important.
Yes, I did.
And so you got to, you started out, you wanted to do 15 minutes together. Then you went down to 10. But then he agreed on 5 minutes.
Yes.
And that lasted how many nights?
I think it was two.
Two nights.
I think we literally did two nights.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah. And I at some point, I'm like, I'm not going to push this river.
No.
I don't need to.
No.
You know, it is what it is, people.
But I'm your girl.
You are my girl.
Yeah.
And so when you say that, you're like, should we stop doing a podcast? No. I know people who listen to us, and they like hearing from us.
It's our weekly postcard.
It is our weekly postcard. Yeah. It's like our – but I also know that I – enjoy talking to you for an hour about our lives, separate and together.
Where I can't really complain.
Right. Mm. You can, oh, that's so not true. That's so not true. Well, did I talk about this last week? We were together and I said to you, oh, I want to tell you a funny story of what Doug said to me and how Doug behaved.
No, you didn't say that last week, though.
Yeah, and I said, and you said to me, well, and I said, I don't want to because I don't, I'd like to share it with you because it's kind of funny, but I'm afraid you're not going to think it's funny as much as using it for,
retribution.
Yeah. Or like bring it up to me later on saying, oh, remember that time he did this to you?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh God, that's right. Okay. I can't, can be completely honest because it's fodder for the fire.
Right.
And, but when you're inside of it, like, here's the, I won't, listen guys, I won't make you wait any longer. Here's the story. If I can remember it, holy cow.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. The situation was like, oh, wait a minute. Doug needed something from me. He needed a favor. He needed a favor from me.
Yeah.
But before the favor, I asked him to do something. And then he said, no, I can't do that because of this and this and this. And then he can't, can then he hit me up for the favor.
Right.
And I thought, and neither what I asked him to do was like
nothing. Yeah.
And I thought, and I started giggling inside because I'm like, you kind of played that wrong because if you want me to do something.
You said that about him.
Yeah. If you want me to do like a favor that actually is going to be calorie spent.
I think it was like this. Tell me, he said, I think you go, oh, it's so good to see you, babe. I missed you.
Oh, that's right. There wasn't even a favor. Yeah. This is how it goes. I was, I mean, he could have, I go, oh, yeah. And then, okay. So anyway, I said, oh, I missed you so much. I miss you so much.
Mm-hmm. But then you said, oh, by the way.
Don't you miss me?
Don't you miss me? Like, question mark.
And he said, no, I really don't because, like, I never think that we're, like, apart. You know, I know you're still there and talking the phone.
And then he says, I don't miss you. But by the way, I have a big favor to ask
you. Exactly.
Can you help me move next weekend?
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And then in my head, I giggled. Because I thought, oh, that's Douglas. He should have given me a bone first before, or a boner before. Mom's like, oh God, before he hits me in the face,
right,
with a pie.
Right.
So, but the other thing now, I don't know if this is menopause brain or whatever. I knew something had happened with Doug that I thought was kind of funny. I could not remember the specifics. Just energetically, I could tell you what was going down.
Right.
And I don't know if this is menopausal, premenopausal brain, that literally my past is past.
Yeah. I love that about you.
I love it about me because I hold no grudges.
Yeah, you're so lucky.
I held no grudges, no resentments that I'm aware of. Energetically, I might hold. But
that is really beautiful because even Dax Shepherd said that he felt that one of the reasons, because he was 16 years in sobriety.
Yeah.
I mean, not just from alcohol, but from coke, opioids, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then he, like, had a relapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now he's just like in 30 days sobriety. Yes. But what was I going to say? Oh, my God.
About having no memory. And he said because about resentments.
Yes. That's what it was. He said that he feels, because he had to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
And he thinks that it's something that he was holding resentments that he wasn't even really aware of, or at least that they weren't at the surface.
Right.
And I think that that's probably true for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Even though we think we've done our work and everything, there's probably some little shit down there.
I know there's shit down there.
That's always ready to muck it up.
I'm sure. And I hold on to all the sayings, the Bible verses, the help self-help stuff that says, don't look in the rearview mirror. That's why it's so much smaller than the front mirror. And if you only look at it, if it helps you
grow or correct. Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, if I'm not meant to, remember it, good. It's done. It's over with. No big deal.
Right.
And Doug was and I were talking and he goes, I just got a bill in the mail from my insurance company for my surgery I had in February. And in my brain, I'm like, what the fuck was this
surgery? I couldn't remember either.
Now, what surgery did he fucking have in February? Oh, my God. And I'm racking. He goes, you don't remember what I'm talking. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I do. I go, yeah, you had that surgery in February. And he goes, yeah, you know, the one I hit I fell and I hurt my elbow and the tendon got detached. I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm like, you could barely call that a surgery, but I didn't say that. I'm like, yeah. And then he goes, yeah. I go, well, how much was the surgery? He goes, he wanted to quiz me. What do you think the surgery actually cost? Because the truth of the matter is, you never know what any of your procedures cost until months later, right?
Right.
And I said, I have no idea. $85,000. I had no idea. He goes, no, only $26,000. Like, that's cool. But he never was in the hospital for more than a couple of hours.
Right.
And I'm like, that seems like highway robbery.
That's crazy.
That's crazy shit. And people ask me why I really want single pay healthcare.
Yeah.
And that's just because it just, there are a lot of hands in the medical model that make money, and they're not all medically degreed. You know,
right.
when a hedge fund, you know, a hedge fund guy buys a hospital or puts money into a hospital, is not because he's being altruistic.
That hospital better produce.
And produce big.
Yeah.
And produce big in a big way.
Yeah.
You know, I get you. Wow. I get you. How else are you going to make money except for people getting sick? That's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, no. Julie's turning into a
QAnon. Oh, but we forgot to talk about the conspiracy. We kind of ended. You had thrown up that you were thrown up. You had threw out. Not thrown up. Same thing. You had thrown out that you had listened to that woman about herd immunity. Like, we're not, she was saying that
there's immunity in community.
And I heard this one guy said, you know, I'm so afraid that we're, because the kids are not in school, that we're turning an illness, like, it could be just like chicken pox. The kids get it, they don't even realize it, and now they're immune, into a 100-year disease that we'll have to all have vaccinations. And I thought to myself, I go, if I'm not mistaken, I think kids do get chicken pox vaccinations now.
Yeah.
I go, dude, you're old. I go, I'm not 100% sure, but I think they do get a vaccination now.
It's really, really, really sad out there. And we were parked in front of our little local BP.
Yeah.
And they've changed ownership and new stuff. But big sign on the front, must wear masks inside, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody was dutifully putting their masks on, except there were these two guys. Both came in with big trucks.
Yeah.
Like the big trucks, you know? And they had the beards.
Yeah.
And they had the vest.
Right.
I mean, there was this typical look.
Right.
And neither of them, they both walked in, neither of them had masks on.
Right.
And I didn't think anybody said, hey, dude, you know, put a mask on.
Mm-mm.
You know, and one was on his phone.
Yeah.
So he was talking in the air.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
He didn't have his phone in his hand.
So he was producing saliva that was being pushed out of his mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get you. And
So, but here's the thing, too. So that's a look.
Yes.
Okay. So, and I remember your Uncle David, you know, he's from Northern California, well, Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said to Dad and me more than once, he goes, those Trumpers, he calls them Trumpers, are so scary looking.
Yeah.
And so he's from Northern California.
Yes.
And he goes, you know, they're big and they're burly and they have these big beards. They drive these big, big trucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have, who knows, you know, whatever he imagines, you know, what it all looks like. But I had this idea then. I thought, well, that is a look.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, well, if one of those guys was walking down the street.
Yes.
And another guy was like a big black rapper type dude.
Yeah.
Which you kind of like are fearful of as well. Well, maybe not rapper, but.
I know what you're saying. I know the look you're going for.
Yeah. Like just.
A 90s gangbanger look.
Yes.
Stereotypical.
Yes. Gangbangers. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
Stereotypical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who would you be afraid of more? That's my thought experiment of the
week. I'm walking the yellow line, because here's the dealio. I love your thought experiment. I honestly couldn't pick, because in one way.
Who do you pick? I remember one time.
I'm going, Ice-T, man, I love your music. Let's walk together, baby. That's what I'm picking.
You do Ice-T.
I do Ice-T, I think. I love that guy.
Yeah. You know? If we're thinking that's Ice-T.
Right.
I think as the gangbanger.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, you're not being completely honest, because another thought experiment. No, this is a reality experiment. You had purchased some camo masks, and you had your aviators on, mm-hmm. and you had your mm-hmm. camo mask on, and you looked yourself in the mirror, and you're like going, I look a little cute. I look a little kick-ass cute here.
I had a baseball cap on.
And you had a baseball cap, yeah. turned the other direction, and then you asked me to take a picture of it and show it to your brother. and I think you said, this is the way I wear my mask, and no one's stopping me, baby.
I said, I'm rocking the COVID look.
You're rocking the COVID look. Yeah. You're exactly right. And so
okay, so you see a person rocking the COVID look, another person rocking the Trump look, and then the 90s gangbanger look.
Right.
Who are you more afraid of?
I'm not the COVID look person. I'm not afraid of, except that we're all wearing masks except for the Trump guy.
Yeah.
And he's just got the beard on. But not a lot of Trumpers that we know around the area. Some are bearded. Some are not bearded.
Right.
You know, but the big pickup trucks, yeah. I mean, like, I'm talking big. 85 grand pickup trucks.
Maybe more. and big flags on the back. Some that we don't even recognize.
Right.
I don't know what nation that is, but I think it's Trumpistan.
It could be Trumpistan. Yeah. Exactly. I think that looking to the future, we will have the stereotypical, because I think that if you put the word stereotypical in front of anything, you can say whatever you want, mm-hmm. because it is like, hey, I'm not describing an individual.
No,
I'm describing what the meta version of somebody
Got
is.
Got it. Yeah, like, that's cool.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I'm going to have to pick the middle yellow line because I really don't, you know me, I don't want to leave anybody out,
yeah.
and I don't want to be included in anybody's group, so I want to be included and excluded at the same
time. When I was a kid, you know, my dad would go like, oh, if there was a guy and he had tight jeans and he had cigarettes in his t-shirt,
yes.
like in the arm of his
t-shirt. The stereotypical 50s, 60s.
Yeah, and he had his hair greased back.
Yeah,
greased. My dad would say, walk on the other side of the
street. Walk on the other side of the street.
Don't even go near him.
Like, yeah.
Now, I'm sure like dad would go, of all of those.
Go for that guy.
Go for the ciggy smoking. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. First off, you can outrun him. their lung capacity is a little bit less than yours.
Probably.
Just get a little ahead of him. He'll quit after a while. He's tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so forth.
Can I say something?
Please do.
I heard that. Well, actually, I witnessed this week.
Oh, okay.
But you had your own Tubin experience on Zoom this week.
I
was shocked.
Yes, you were.
And I dropped my, and it was jaw-dropping.
Yes, it was.
So you were having a Zoom meeting with someone you had never, ever
met before.
Well, you talked to him on the phone.
Yes.
But you've never met them.
Right.
So you were meeting this person for the first time.
For sure.
A male.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an interesting, semi-important meeting.
Yes, it was.
But you started feeling a little comfortable in this meeting.
Well, I was screen sharing.
You were screen sharing. You were doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm watching you do
yes,
this.
Yes, you are.
Because I'm engaged in the conversation,
yes.
but not being seen.
Right, right, right.
Smart. But I see you reach over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the story if you don't
mind. Okay, go for it.
I see you reach over.
It's humiliating.
You've got a little, next to your pad of paper and uh-huh. pencils, you have a couple of Q-tips.
Yes.
You just are talking away and da-da-da, and you reach over, you pick up a Q-tip, and you put it in your ear.
I know I did.
You move your hair, you move your glasses out of the way,
yeah.
and you start digging.
I start digging.
And I look over, and I'm like, what the fuck?
And you didn't say anything, but your eyes got big. I'm like, what's mom looking at?
I go,
I got a Q-tip. I'm going to town on my Q-tip. This is not good.
Then I'm like, oh my God, what's she going to pull out of there? I'm like, it's going to be this big brown mess.
It hasn't
on Zoom?
Been. Yeah, that would have been hysterical because then I would have sniffed it because I'm curious about that stuff.
That would have been
even gross.
Better.
Thank God I didn't. And I think I tried to sheepishly take it out, put it down the ground. Well, what was funny is this.
So, you know, you've been tubinized, girlfriend.
I've been tubinized. I wonder if he realized it. Because what happened was at that time, I was screen sharing on my computer. And he was looking at my screen. Now, on the top right-hand corner is a picture of him and I. And so if I wasn't screen sharing, I would be looking at a big face of him and he'd be looking at a big face of me.
Right.
But that wasn't the case.
Right.
And so I don't know if he saw me.
So it was either.
But I saw this. Big eyes. Like, what's she doing like, with this?
Why is mom looking at me like this?
Yeah. But I could, I mean, but I literally, though, as he was explaining what I was seeing on my screen, I could totally see myself doing something totally embarrassing,
right.
Like adjusting my boob
adjusting
and my
bra. Your bra. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, okay. So I'm cutting tubing. A 20% slack right now. Because
right.
I'm telling you what, I didn't have the desire to go down myself, you know, or like, you know what I'm saying? To pleasure myself.
Yeah. And also,
going down myself is impossible. I am not built that way.
And not, if I not could only be, that, but is there really any more pleasure in the world?
No. In the world? In the world, no. But so
it's the apocalypse. Come on.
Yeah. If Tubin did that on camera, that would be, I hope they would have recorded it and sent it out because he might have another career going.
For if he did what? The
go down on himself. On Zoom. That would be hysterical.
So wouldn't it be funny, like, Julia, you've just now lost your treasurer job because you Q-tipped yourself.
Oh, my God. That would be hysterical. Yeah. And it would be weird. But it was so embarrassing. Only after the fact. And I just kept talking and so forth. And then I thought to myself.
Nothing to see here, people.
People, like, yeah. This like, Q-tip. Look over here with my fingers over here. Yeah. I'll take this Q-tip out of my ear. Over here.
That is when you're really comfortable with yourself, though.
Well, I mean.
I just think I'll put a Q-tip in my ear.
Yeah, I'm just talking. Well, because unfortunately. I really get pleasure out of Q-tips in my ear.
Yeah.
They come out totally spotless because I do enjoy a Q-tip in my ear. I would be surprised if nothing's in there.
Yeah.
But because I've had this ear infection for a long time, my ears have nothing in them now. I don't know why.
Because you're...
Are my ears absorbing the wax? Because typically I have some wax,
but
I literally have been voided of wax lately.
I wonder.
For weeks. Like nothing, I mean spotless for a couple
weeks.
Have
you been Q-tipping then?
Well, because it feels good to itch my ear like
that. Maybe you should
let
something build up in there.
Maybe I should. All right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Life of the girlfriends. the question of the century. Should I let my earwax build
this
up?
That's another thought experiment.
Listen, I just find that it's ridiculous. Ridiculous for them to suggest that Q-tips don't go in ears. You don't make them look like that.
What do you use them for then?
What do you use them for? Yeah. Applying makeup, sure.
Yeah.
Then
that's why they give you 1,000 in a box.
Exactly. They only go one place, in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I really don't have any other need, even for makeup, because it's not the right applicator.
Mm-hmm.
They go in your ear. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's just where it go.
Have you ever had one go in too far, though?
Yeah, I have.
It's painful.
Slightly.
Yeah.
I've had thoughts of, like, what happens if an asteroid hits at the exact moment I have this in my ear?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, quote unquote, embarrassing and very painful. Because can you imagine
probably
CSI people come in?
Yeah.
They try and find, like, oh, here she is
with
the asteroid hit her bedroom, and here she is.
Yeah.
And they discuss, oh, my God. When the asteroid hit, did the explosion blow one into her ear?
All the Q-tips in there. Yeah, exactly.
Or did it just coincidentally happen at that exact moment?
Yeah.
I can see that happening for sure.
You know how when we plug into Sam Harris and it says how many people are meditating with us at that exact moment?
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet? You wonder how many people are Q-tipping at the same moment you Q-tip.
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would like to know. Oh, my God. I just had this really crazy thought.
Yeah. Something surreal.
Well, okay. You know how a couple shows ago, I talked about how I am willing to be someone's, like, if you're a voyeur, if you need to be witnessed, I can be your voyeur.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people get off on meditating in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I do a little bit. Like, the idea that, oh, and 900 people are meditating at the exact same time with me. That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
I feel good. So am I a meditator voyeur or a meditator voyeur meditator? Like, I want people to recognize that I, too, am meditating with you.
I'm in there, people, too. Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me. I'm a meditator.
You're just, I know. And it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes,
you're just,
it is.
It is ridiculous. I want to share one thing. I was watching X-Files this morning on BBC. It's on.
We get BBC?
Yes, we get BBC. It's the intellectual.
Oh, my God. I was just going to get BritBox. Last night.
Well, you should still get BritBox if you want BritBox, because BBC and BritBox aren't the same.
Got it.
Because you would think that BBC would give you British stuff.
Yeah.
Not really. Not a lot. Mm. Not a
just lot. X-Files, things like that. Got it.
Killing Eve is one of their big ones.
Oh. Oh,
or
my
is
gosh.
That AMC? That might be AMC. I don't know. But anyway, it was season one of X-Files, mm-hmm. and Julian Anderson looks so doughy-eyed and, you know, fresh-faced, and and I'm like, oh, my God, time is going by so fast. Life's, but no one has cell phones, which I thought was interesting. And this is when it was really scary in the beginning, when everything is shot dark. Like, I would say now, like,
that first season was so good.
Yeah, it was so good. But, like, you know, there's a scene in like the back room of a mortuary, you know, like a funeral home, right? Mm-hmm. And they're getting the body. But so you have caskets there, and the guy goes in, and like he doesn't turn the lights on except for a little time. Like, dude, you're literally in a room full. I mean, I'm not saying how. I don't care how comfortable you are with the fact that. Which God bless you for being able to work with our loved ones after they've gone. God bless you, because somebody has to. Mm-hmm. But if I had that job, the first thing I do is turn on all the lights all the time. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't, like, what's that one Jewish tradition of holding Shiva? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where someone has to be with the body continuously.
Yes, right.
Just in case the spirit comes back, and then you gotta share, like, hey, dude, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? And I'd be afraid that, like, what if this wasn't for Jewish people? Like, but we just didn't know. We didn't realize. Or what if I was a conduit for, you know, and everybody's like, hey, that girl can, you know, be a part. So I'd have to have the lights on continuously. Even though I'm not saying that would prevent the ghosts from coming.
Right.
But I think it would be less scary for me to be observing the ghosts.
100%. I mean, this is always 100%. The implausible for me.
Yeah.
Is like, why isn't anybody turning lights on anywhere in these scary shows?
We're not, you know, this is not World War
That's
II.
The first
we have
thing
to,
you do.
You know, conserve energy and make sure we have enough coal for the, you know, for our soldiers.
Right.
That's not where we're at right now. I mean,
turn your lights on.
Turn your lights on. Yeah. I agree. And I don't know what it is about lights, but, well, we do know light. It really does make things a lot less scarier.
Yeah. I don't see too many shadow people.
Exactly. And if you did, you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So that wasn't the thing.
Is that your tip of the day, Julie?
Yeah. If you work,
turn your lights on.
Turn your lights on.
Yeah.
Well, when I drove home last night, or 4 or 5 nights ago, I came in, pulled the side of the garage, turned my lights, you know, and I drove in, and there were 4 deer sleeping in the corner.
Oh.
Sleeping is not the right word, because their eyes were open looking at me.
They were laying down.
They were laying down. They're just looking at me like, hey, you. I don't know how often deer sleep. Do they really go into REM sleep? I don't know. Are they like horses? I don't know how that works. But the other day when I walked out of the house, I walked out, there was a fox in the corner and a big buck.
Mm-hmm.
And birds flying, and all of a sudden I
had
this twinge.
We had some kind of turkeys,
turkey vultures, and I hear coyotes.
Yeah,
and they're not that far. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I was fearful, like, you know, I no longer can walk comfortably from my car to the garage. I must take my cell phone out, turn the light on, shine the. And I don't know about you, it's almost like I live in, you know, south of Florida, where the Everglades. I'm just taking my cell phone light, searching, scanning the whole complex so that I'm like.
And they see red eyes.
Any red eyes.
Yeah.
Now, deer's eyes are not red.
Oh, they aren't?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
They're like, you know, like aqua.
In the lights, they're blue?
They're blue. Like pure.
Wow.
It's very bizarre.
They have beautiful eyes, though.
Yes, they have beautiful eyes.
I've had just one time come up to my car door.
Oh.
I mean, just be like about a foot away.
See, my
feeling
is...
the eyes were so beautiful. Yeah. The eyelashes were like...
long.
So long and just beautiful.
I'm feeling the only reason why this is happening, that the deer are getting so comfortable. Like Dad said, a 5-point buck came up to him the other day while he was working in the backyard in the deck. I mean, like within...
yeah.
Like feet.
Yeah.
Is that somebody in our area is feeding them?
Yeah.
Like literally.
Well, we know who that is.
I do know. Yeah. I don't have proof of it.
But I have proof of it.
You do? You've seen him?
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen them eat out of his hand.
Oh, well, that's proof.
That's pretty proof.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay. Yes, I am from Missouri. Is that the Show Me State?
Yes.
Okay. But do I trust you to tell me the truth? Yeah. I don't know.
That's to be determined.
So the whole thing about X-Files is that I found it so dated. First off, she wore a trench coat that was overly too big for her body.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be.
And, yeah, at that time, right? Coats, yeah. Also, there were new partners, you know, FBI detectives.
Yeah.
And I only watched the end of one episode and the beginning of the next episode.
Yeah.
And in both those episodes, she got scared or something bad happened to her, and he touched her face. And I found that to be very odd. You're two FBI agents who are newly partners. Your male partner wouldn't go to you, touch your face and go, Scully, are you okay?
No. Listen, okay. I watched Enola Cagney and Lacey last night.
Yes.
And this one guy was a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
From Michigan coming to New York.
Yeah.
And he was into Chris.
Cagney. Did the blonde?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because the other one's married.
Okay.
And he was like, honey, child, after this, why don't you come over, you know, to my hotel room? He goes, but if we're going to go out to dinner, you're going to have to pay because he was just like, you know, and it was just like, oh, yeah, that's the 70s.
That's the 70s.
That was how it was.
Oh, my God. And so you go, like, things are changing.
Yeah.
And they're changing kind of quickly, I guess.
Well, you know, when I remember the first year that there was a transition between plots on TV that did not include cell phones or texting, actually.
Right.
Maybe phones.
Right.
But texting.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, there was, like, this one thing.
God.
And I remember, like, what are they doing? Oh, they're texting, and they had to show the picture of the phone.
Oh, the text.
Of the text. And then we had to actually read it, and there would be like, whoop. And then the other person would go like, and then it'd be whoop. I'm like, oh, my God, that is going to get so boring.
Yeah.
To have to include that.
Include the texting.
In terms of script writing.
Right.
And now it seems to be seamless.
It does seem to be seamless because it's seamless in our own lives. And
true.
Today, before the show, true. You were getting a little testy with me because...
I was.
Because I had received a text from Douglas.
Yes.
And I wanted to... I know that if I don't respond back, he'll text me again or call me. And I wanted to say, hey, we're doing the show right now. I can't talk at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then... But you were finding it... You were agitated. You were becoming agitated.
Can I say why, though?
Because you were talking to me.
I was talking to you. But, okay, but here's...
Tell me
Doug when. Texts you and says, good morning, babe.
Yeah.
That's it. And then, so I'm assuming Julie would go, hey, GM, whatever, good morning, back.
Yeah.
But that's... I'm like, what the F does she have to say after he says good morning?
Right.
Because then is that code for something?
Yeah, it is code.
Is it so evidently it was code for something.
Not, you know.
And so I was like, yeah, we're getting ready to start the show. And you're like, I go, what are you doing? Well, I'm telling him we're doing the radio show. Okay, they're doing radio show. But
yeah.
Then I go, well. And I'm going, oh, there must be a game today or something.
Right.
Because that's how they... And I go, is there a game today? You go, no, I don't think so. Like, you're writing this like, small, short story to him.
I really wasn't. What happens is, you get in my brain. And so I write him something, and then I go, I'll erase it. just put GM. Good. Yeah. And then, but if I don't do what I usually do,
which is like coddle him totally.
No, I know I do.
You and, do coddle
that's
him.
That's our relationship. And that's okay. Right? Yes. It's got to be okay.
Well, can I say something though? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course it's okay.
Right.
Of course. But you never give him any resistance.
I don't.
That's like, but you're a woman. You've got to.
I'm a stereotypical.
Don't you see man with a plan? You've got to think out of the box a little bit sometime.
I don't. Well, I don't need to think out of the box with Doug because we don't.
No,
share
you don't.
We don't share a box. That's the problem. If we shared a box, I'd have to think out of it once in a while.
Yeah.
Because I don't share one. It's like, yeah, it's his box.
Yeah.
He can think any way he wants about it.
I get you.
unless it messes with my life, and then it's like, okay, now I've got to be in your box with you.
So my thought was, here's the word of the week, right? You'd never give him any pushback.
Yes.
Never.
And today, this morning, because we're taking off Thanksgiving week, kind of, right? I think we haven't decided you.
Yeah.
And you kind of have created this list that I just winked at mom because I'm going to exaggerate a little bit and I don't want to be mad at me.
I am the great, powerful. Please, again, do not pull back the curtain.
But you said to me this morning before the show, you said, hey, I'm going to push a little bit on this stuff.
Oh, I did say that. Yeah. I said, I'm going to push you.
I'm going to push you a little bit on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, that's fine because I'm going to push back. And you go, oh, against it? I go, no, I want to get this stuff done too. So I go, I'm on the same page. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to be slightly energetically clippy for a second
But I'm helping you.
Yes. You are being
So here's
my
the thing.
Resistance to
we
work against.
We were all in the car yesterday. Mm. Dad gets the mail and he opens up this thing from the IRS.
Yes.
And I go, what could that possibly be? And Julie goes, well, we missed our deadline for this IFTA tax, which we pay in trucking every 2 months?
3 weeks, 3 months.
Every 3 months. And as far as back as I can remember, you know, years and years and years, you guys have never missed that.
Right.
Never. And all of a sudden I'm like, how is that possible that you
right.
guys, and you both seem so like, oh, well, we just
missed
it.
Well, you know why?
Because I did not know. I did not put two and two together.
Yeah.
I learned later on.
What'd you
because
learn?
I'm like, it's Saturday night, but I know that you can do this online. And
yeah.
I'm like, why are you guys getting in the office and doing this thing
right.
online? Why are you, you know, I can't. And then finally, Dad goes, well, I lost the notebook.
Right.
That all of my information is in. I left it in the rail yard somewhere.
Right.
And lost it. So we've not been able to figure out how to do it.
Well, not just that. When I told him about this, I go, Dad, we missed our deadline date. We got to figure this out. And he's like, oh, shit. And then at that moment, we should have lied about the deadline date a little bit because then we would have done it. But at that point, we didn't want to tell you that we missed our deadline date. And so how is Dad like, well, when I'm home, I want to spend all my time with your mother. How do I sneak away an hour of time on the computer? Because she'll want to know what I'm doing. That would be so odd of me to be on the computer for an hour. And so
yes, it would.
It would. So we didn't want to tell you that we missed our deadline date.
Well, then here's
and then you saw it. And then you're like, and I told Dad afterwards, I said, oh, I go, Dad, I'm so sorry about this. I go, but I wouldn't have mentioned anything except she's literally looking at it. And you wouldn't let it go. You
said it was so out of character.
Well, no, you weren't letting it go in the mail. Like I had gotten the mail and you were like, what's that?
Because it looked official.
Yeah. I go, it's just advertisement. No, what's that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, he goes, oh, it's just, I don't know, it's just something with the trucking. He goes, no, I see it's from Illinois State Revenue. What's it from? And I'm like, geez Louise. Oh, I go, and then I'm like, oh, okay, it's this thing.
Nothing goes past the wizard.
It was due September 30, or no, due October 31st.
It's so out of character. It was like when you were talking about Dad and Verizon.
Yeah.
It would be out of character for you to find some kind of porno thing in Dad's history.
Right, and
on his
so
phone.
It's out of Since character he, for
right.
you to have in the mail
right.
this mail that says Illinois
right.
Department of Revenue. You're like,
right.
what the fuck is this?
Right.
Like, I'm not a moron, Julie. This is something official. Like, oh, don't worry your pretty little head about it. You're like, no, that works only for your father. My pretty little head
will worry about it.
We'll worry about it, yeah. And we'll keep on worrying about it. We can tell
Norm
answer.
Not to worry, and he won't.
He's like, all right, I won't worry about it.
How many times a week do you go, don't worry your pretty little head about it?
A couple times.
No problem.
Yeah, like, no problem. No, he's problem. Like,
but for me, it's like, oh no.
Oh no, I'm going to, I am now, I have a bone, and I will keep this bone active until I know this has been resolved.
Yeah.
And it got resolved yesterday, and I was grateful night. For I'm glad we told you about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm glad you did too.
Because Normano, then I told Norm after dinner, I yeah. said, come help me do
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out and to the best of our ability.
And that's when I watched Cagney and Lacey.
That's when you watched Cagney and Lacey and yeah. we got our work done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ta-dum.
Da da da. So yeah, all the little secrets and stories of family life. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
And then it's so weird because when those things happen, I go back to Dax where he says, you know, I as an alcoholic cannot afford to have secrets or resentments.
How true.
I just can't afford it because right. those things make me want to drink.
Yeah.
And some like when I said I didn't want to share the story about Doug with you because right. I didn't want to come back later.
Right. I felt bad though because I go, I guess I could be that person, and I didn't want to be that person that would come back and use it, you know, against you.
You didn't want to be like, that person?
No, I don't want. I didn't want to at that
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, come on though. But it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you are not that. But you are that person to me. Because there's not like a lot going, not like a lot in line. It's,
no,
you know,
right?
I mean,
it's not like I know you're not going to ever talk to me again.
Exactly, or that we're that not, or that I just won't forget. Like 20 minutes later, like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, I only remember the feelings or the energetic information.
Yeah,
but besides that, I don't remember any of the details.
Yeah,
for good or for bad. Yeah. That's why I try. If I need to learn something, I try and quickly put it into muscle memory. Because otherwise, I just forget shit. Because
it goes into, you know, in the Bible, it says, in my father's house, there are many mansions.
Yeah.
So it goes into one of those little mansions that you might never, ever go back into
again. I may not go back to that mansion ever again, right. You know.
So, Griffin, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Doug already informed me that he's not going to see me for Thanksgiving.
Oh, he's going over to the kids' house?
I don't know what he's doing for Thanksgiving. He just says, well, but he does it in a certain way. We never talk about these things except this, where he says, oh, I'm sure I won't see you Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, okay. But now he'll call me Thanksgiving because he won't have plans.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be like, well, can we go do something, you know, or
after
do something?
He already canceled you out. Yeah,
exactly.
He's pretty smart that way. It's kind of like Elliot. Like, you know, Elliot likes Maureen from the vet, the clinic, yeah. But he also loves Linda.
Yes.
Who he bonded to in his first year. But given the choice of the two, I feel he'd go to Linda.
Yes.
Well, you're not Linda.
I'm not Linda.
In Doug's world.
I'm not Linda in Doug's world.
That's right.
I'm Maureen.
That's right.
Because he likes me well enough.
Yeah. So if Linda didn't show up, he's keeping his option open.
Yeah.
But if perhaps Linda didn't show up. He's going
he to. And Doug shakes his tail when he sees both of us. Whoever Linda is, he'll shake his tail. He'll shake his tail a little bit for me. Just a little bit. And so forth. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Julie, it was great.
It was great. But before we go, one
yeah.
more time.
Yeah.
I want to say to everybody, let's have a great Thanksgiving. Let's end the year peaceful. And for our own family's sake.
I agree.
And
let's be peace. Let's be thankful.
And also, hey, I know more and more now that we are all living in different realities, being fed different news, mm-hmm. different information.
Yeah.
And so the truth
is, have some compassion.
Have compassion for everybody.
Yeah. Because their bubble is not your bubble.
And your bubble's not their bubble.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've done this. I've blown bubbles before. And two bubbles have merged together to form a bigger bubble. And that's kind of a sweet little thing. And
you're,
so maybe.
You're my boobala.
Am I your boobala?
Yeah.
That's good. So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.